From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in Rochester, where asylum seekers have been arriving from other countries. The migrant crisis has affected counties and cities across the state. Everyone knows that. And when asylum seekers arrive here, they often have no idea where to turn. One answer is the Legal Aid Society, or Just Cause. And they've been meeting with migrants regularly throughout the fall. In a recent report for WXXI News, Randy Gorman spoke to the Society's chair, Kitty Bressington. She said the Society's role with migrants is, quote, to help them better understand what they're up against, to help them change addresses if they've been bused from, say, New Jersey, to help them understand how to file for different things, how to get jobs, etc., end quote. And if you've ever driven through downtown Rochester, you've probably passed the Telesca Center in the heart of the city. The center pulls together four different organizations that work to provide legal representation to people who can't afford it. A person living with serious illnesses can obtain a will through Just Cause. A military veteran might gain access to benefits with help from Legal Assistance of Western New York. A survivor of domestic violence could get an order of protection through Just Cause or the Legal Aid Society. Tenants facing eviction could get help through the Empire Justice Center or through the other organizations in various ways. And these four organizations have been under one roof since 2005, but they are expanding their coordination and what they're trying to do in this community. This hour, it's a chance to understand what it is they do, who funds them, who they work with, whether it is migrants or tenants or veterans or victims of violence or many others. And I want to welcome our guests now. Brian Jasek is Deputy Executive Director at Just Cause. Brian, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Lori O'Brien, Executive Director of Legal Assistance of Western New York. We might call it Law New York.
Is that exactly?
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Kristen Brown is with us, President and CEO of the Empire Justice Center. Hi, Kristen.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Welcome to Carla Palumbo, President of the Legal Aid Society of Rochester. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
Very good. And welcome to Crystal Bertrand, the Development Officer for the Telesca Center for Justice. Thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I mentioned migrants off the top. There's a lot of different sort of kinds of work that these organizations do, and we will be specific. And I think our listeners will be very curious to hear how you help folks who find you, how they find you in the first place. The reason I started with migrants is, and this is not an attempt to make anything political. I don't think our guests want anything to be political. Everything sort of becomes somewhat political. And we had a recent election. And, you know, Brian, with Just Cause, I know you work with asylum seekers or migrants. I had a chance to moderate the debate for county executive, and there was an interesting moment in which one of the candidates, Mark Cassini, said that if he were elected, that Monroe County would just close the door on incoming migrants and asylum seekers. He said it's out of control. He cited Governor Hochul saying that communities are stressed, the mayor of New York City saying communities are stressed. And he said the counties just have to say no. On the other hand, you had the county executive, the incumbent, Adam Bella, who ended up winning. He said that even if you wanted to do that, counties have tried, they've lost in court, and that there has to be some kind of way to address the needs of people who end up in our communities, that shutting the door was not really an option, that had been sort of asked and answered in court. And again, I don't want you to choose sides politically. I just want to ask you, you know, if that exchange reflects some of the tension and what it has been like lately.
I mean, I certainly think that there is some tension there politically, but I think, you know, to kind of flip it a little bit, I think, you know, on the positive side, what we've seen is really an outpouring of support for the migrants that have come here to our city and to our community. And I think we should really focus on that, because what we've seen as migrants and asylum seekers come here, we call them our newcomers. They're coming to this community seeking a better life, and we have an obligation really to welcome them. That's what we're doing. And our organizations are trying to do that by helping them navigate the legal system. And so what we can do is we can get them connected to services. We can get them connected to legal services, which is what we and Legal Aid do. And we provide Know Your Rights trainings. We provide them with access to, for instance, if they entered the border at the South, they gave an address, their hearing for their immigration case might be somewhere else in the country. Well, now they've ended up here. And so we need to get their case transferred to somewhere else. Those are the things we can do for them. And what we found is that we have volunteer attorneys who are really willing to do this type of work. We have a lot of community partners, other agencies who are really willing to help. We have regular people who are willing to welcome these people into our communities. And so I think, politics aside, what we've seen is a real outpouring of support for people joining this community. And I think that's really a wonderful thing. And so these organizations here around the table and on the phone today are here to support those people. And it's not, it goes beyond immigration, but that's just one area that we operate in.
Carla Palumbo, you're no stranger to elected office and politics.
I was wondering if you were going to call me.
Well, you know, I am curious to know what you made of sort of that recent exchange and what you make of the situation now for those coming to our community with these kind of needs.
So, you know, Rochester and Monroe County has really always been a haven for resettled refugees, asylum seekers. We've had different groups and waves of people come in. Many of them have come through Catholic Family Center, the refugee resettlement programs, or several other programs here. I think the difference is this was a group that was, you know, sent to us from New York City. And frankly, it isn't a political issue. It's a humanitarian issue. It's, I think, providing the kind of access that we collectively, the folks at the Telesca Center, provide to all vulnerable people in our community.
And Carla, as the president of the Legal Aid Society, I mean, that is obviously the role that you're in on this program. But having, you know, worked in government, are you sympathetic to the argument that communities like ours can't handle more more people coming in?
I don't know if sympathetic is the right word. I think that the support that Brian talked about tells us that we can, that we, you know, we being the service providers, can address the issues that are faced by folks coming in. I don't know that it's costing, you know, taxpayers additional funds. No one is funding us. We're just using our regular funding to, you know, to address the need. I think that the folks that have come up, and Brian might know this for sure, from New York City have come with funding to support their housing, to support, you know, because they're at the hotel, just to pay those sort of costs that aren't coming out of our, you know, that our coffers. I think that the perennial political argument is sort of fear of immigrants coming into this community has been around for a long time. This is just a new way to talk about it, that, you know, I don't know, I'm a child of immigrants, and if my parents were kept out, I mean, that would have been an issue. I wouldn't be here doing what I do. I think we need to get past that, right, and look at, are we doing the right thing by folks that have found themselves now in Rochester, New York?
Brian, how commonly are you working with people in this situation now?
Very commonly. I mean, we partner with, as Carla said, with Legal Aid Society and other agencies. We're over at the hotels where a lot of the newcomers are living right now. We're over there every week, and we're helping those people. We're giving them trainings. We're working on their cases. We're holding clinics. So it's an issue that's ongoing. We haven't seen busloads of people coming up recently like we had earlier this year, but it's still an issue.
So earlier this year was a little bit heavier total traffic coming this way. Okay.
Yeah.
Before I move to some other issues here, and we've got a lot to talk about. Some of the issues that we're going to talk about, you will probably hear the host direct a question somewhere, and it will end up bouncing around because these organizations, there's a lot of crossover work, and and there's a lot of, frankly, a lot of strands in our community that they are tying together. But what I wanted to ask you, Brian, we talk about, whether it's in a political debate or in reporting, sometimes we're talking about human beings who are, frankly, in crisis in a lot of cases. I'm not trying to be dismissive of good faith arguments about what communities can support and how you do that. But I want to ask you, just in general, when you meet folks, how they're doing, and can you kind of give us a little bit of a welfare check on how they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of start with, I mean, a lot of the folks that are here, they didn't even know they were coming here. Mm-hmm. They weren't really asked whether they wanted to come here. They oftentimes, they were sent here. They thought they were going from New York City kind of across the river. They ended up, 6 hours away. And so, surprise at being here, being so far away, acclimating to new weather, new culture, being housed at a hotel, kind of being segregated off from the rest of our community. It can be very difficult. And so I think they're doing the best that they can. One of the great things about this community, as Carla and I have both mentioned, is we have a lot of resources here. We have a lot of support. And so these newcomers are the beneficiaries of that. There's a lot of great agencies out there helping, providing them with clothes, services, meals. We could use more of that, to be sure. But it's hard. I ask the listeners to kind of picture themselves being thousands of miles away from their home and everything that they know. Totally different way of life. Totally different way of living, and suddenly being somewhere new where you don't speak the language, you don't know how things work. It's very traumatic, and a lot of these people have been through extremely traumatic experiences. And so, a lot of the legal work that we do, it's not just the legal aspect of things, it's unpacking a lot of that trauma and then connecting people to services in addition to the legal services.
And when they do arrive here, who is paying their stay? Who's supporting them in different ways? And where is that funded?
Yeah, so Carla is right. The New York City, and Carla, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a company that New York City has contracted with, and I believe they are footing the bill for the stay. Carla, you can jump
correct.
In, though.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. And then there's some state funding through a different agency that is providing some other support. They're not funding legal services, right? They're funding all the other sort of costs of the community that's come in. And Evan, people are also facing, sometimes we have to screen their case and tell them they don't really have a case, right? It's not like everybody who is here has a right to asylum or a right to status. So a lot of the difficult legal work that we're doing is sifting through people's cases, trying to understand their claim for asylum, what prompted that in their home country, what dangers they face, and whether or not that qualifies. And this is work that Legal Aid and Just Cause through our immigration programs have been doing for a number of years. Legal Aid has been providing immigration legal services since the early 90s. So, we're not strangers to this. It's the context or the location changes. It's kind of like what we did earlier in another political era when people were being sent to the detention centers in Batavia. Same thing. All of a sudden, they showed up here and didn't even know where Batavia was in the world. So,
yeah, and Carlo, so one more question on this, because I got an email from a listener named Mark who wanted to know about asylum claims. How often the migrants who end up in our community are making asylum claims or are seeking to make them, and how often those claims are successful?
Boy, I don't know the statistical numbers. I think that most of the requests at the border are for asylum. Whether or not those asylum claims are sustained depends on the nature of their case and then the court system. So but I don't know off the top of my head the percent of success.
Okay. So let me reset why we're here. And if you've driven through downtown Rochester, you've probably passed the Telesca Center for Justice. It houses Just Cause, legal assistance of Western New York, Law New York, the Empire Justice Center, and the Legal Aid Society of Rochester. And I'm going to ask Crystal Bertrand, the development officer for the center, to describe the mission a little. As I do that, let me read an email from a listener who's already given me some grief. So I think this email is fair, to be honest. This comes from from Tess, who says, I used to work for Law New York. Law New York does not help people who cannot help themselves, Evan. Don't rob my clients of agency and effectiveness. That plays into stereotype and cliche. The people we helped or served is better. Are not powerless victims. They were just stymied by bureaucracy or circumstance. It was my job to find out what they wanted to achieve, not what I thought they ought to achieve, and then provide all the options I could see for getting there, or if there weren't any options realistically that might do that, then to explore with them what else could work. They usually could help themselves very well in the end. I just helped them identify how to move past obstacles. So not victims, not helpless, just temporarily blocked from what they needed and what they were entitled to. That's from Tess. I think that's probably well said, better than I did. So, you know, Crystal, you want to endorse that? How do you describe what the Telesca Center does?
So I think what's really incredible about the Telesca Center for Justice is the collaboration of the four partners and really the fact that collectively we're elevating the four individual missions. What's also really incredible is not only just that they're collaborating, but we're co-located, and then also we're pooling their individual fundraising efforts within Monroe County to further support that work. I think collectively all four partners feel really strongly that they're coming alongside the clients that we're supporting. We're empowering the clients that we're working with to move through a time of crisis, because most folks that come and need assistance from a legal service provider they're at risk of losing their home. They're fleeing a abusive relationship. They're seeking assistance seeking asylum. It's an incredibly difficult time that folks are coming to us. And so we're able to come alongside them and support them through that.
What are you trying to do in terms of development? I mean, just to be blunt, what are you trying to raise? What are your goals?
When the Telesca Center first came together, there was a capital campaign that raised over $3 million to kind of co-locate the four partners.
That was like 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago. Yeah. So I think with inflation, that's even more incredible. So we know that there's an incredible heart for access to justice within this community, and we're just working to better communicate with folks what we're up to and the impact that we have, with the hopes of growing it to $1 million campaign sometime in the future, or $1 million effort. We are thinking about, in the past, our communication has been really targeted towards the legal community, who's really sustained the individual fundraising efforts, and we're so deeply thankful for that. But we also know that there's folks outside the legal community who want to support this work and who care about access to justice. So we're thinking about the best way to engage those folks and just really build on the strong donor relationships that we have and have had for decades.
As a journalist and as an employee of WXXI, the only organization I could really, really stump for is our own. And next week we got a membership drive, and you're going to hear me doing that on multiple days. Having said that, you are looking for people who want to get in touch with you, who want to support these missions.
Yes.
How do they do it?
The Telesca Center officially has its own website. It's still growing, but you can find us at telescacenter.org. There's a link to make a contribution right there. If you have questions, you can reach out to me directly also. You can email us at hello@telescacenter.org and find us there.
So let me ask the four other guests to describe a little bit more about what their organizations do, and maybe to provide an example of the kind of person that they might serve or the circumstances that might bring someone to need their services. And Lori O'Brien, Executive Director of Law New York, the mic is yours.
I'm happy to jump in. I'm actually very happy you received that email, because it's very much in line with how we believe our role is in the community. And when we think about our work with the community, really making sure that now and as we move forward, we're better listeners. We're really trying to meet the needs that as expressed by our clients and our community members. Now, Law New York serves 14 counties in Western New York. We're very fortunate to be able to collaborate with all of these providers here in Monroe. Like the other providers, we focus in areas of law that are essentials of life. So that's your health, income, housing, family, education. And I think that's an important part of this, because I know my own experience prior to legal services, many of the things that we work on, I didn't necessarily think that, you know, you might have this attorney or legal services help you navigate those things. But when we think about our own lives and when we're in crisis, it's really it's easy to imagine the types of circumstances that all of us go through where you can need that extra help and that navigation. So I think in the beginning of the hour, you mentioned something like wills, right? So mm-hmm. when you lose a family member, could happen to anyone in our community. You lose a family member that's close to you right in that moment of crisis. You're suddenly handed all of these things you have to deal with, whether it's the arrangements, their income, their bills. That could have been a breadwinner in your family, right? So now all of a sudden you're worried about maintaining your housing. And this, you know, when something bad happens to us or to our families, often it cascades into other areas of our life. So we may see someone walk through our door who is faced with an eviction. And we have to ask the questions about what created these circumstances, because it could have been a loss of employment. It could have been a loss of employment as a result of discrimination. It could have been a family member was a victim of crime. You could have lost a breadwinner in your family. And when we think about how we work with members of the community, it's really important that we engage them as individuals with their own agency and hear their story and figure out how do we fit in as support and to provide them the tools that they need to be able to either achieve self-sufficiency or achieve their own goals.
We'll talk about the Tenant Defense Project coming up here in a little bit more detail. Let me ask our other guests kind of weigh in too. Kristen Brown, President and CEO of the Empire Justice Center. How do you describe the center's mission?
Thanks for asking, Evan. So Empire Justice Center, our biggest office is located in Rochester and Monroe County, but we are a statewide organization. And our primary role within the community is to act as a change agent. So we do work with individual folks they're facing foreclosure, their disability benefits are terminated, or they're denied federal disability claim, helping people to navigate their health insurance and a number of other ways, and also the cash program, helping people with free tax prep. But our real goal is to be working with our community partners in the Telesca Center, and then also across the state to identify trends, barriers to access to benefits, systemic problems within low-income folks and marginalized communities' lives, so that we can bring our three legal tools to address those. So that might be policy advocacy, it might be impact litigation, or it might be providing training and support to individual attorneys or advocates out in the community about how to better use the law to work with the folks that they're serving.
Let me ask Brian Jasek from Just Cause. Obviously, we've talked about one aspect of your work. That's one small slice of it. How do you describe Just Cause?
Sure. So Just Cause is formerly the Volunteer Legal Services Project of Monroe County. And so that kind of describes a little bit of what we do and kind of our mission. It's a little bit different from the other legal services organizations in the Telesca Center. Our service model, delivery model, is through volunteers. So whereas Law New York and the Legal Aid Society use direct services, so they have attorneys on staff who go in and they represent individuals. Empire Justice has a policy kind of side with some direct services. We utilize volunteer attorneys. So we're a civil legal services law firm. We have lawyers on staff who train, mentor volunteer lawyers. So to actually take these cases and help our clients who are individuals who, oftentimes face issues in housing, or we talked about immigration, consumer issues, family law, and cannot afford a lawyer. So we train up volunteer lawyers to be these clients' attorneys. And so we kind of have a multiple benefits to the community. One is our clients benefit, obviously, but also volunteer attorneys benefit. They oftentimes get to practice in an area of law that might not be their primary area of law that they practice in. For instance, you might have an attorney who practices in corporate law, doing a matrimonial divorce case for a domestic violence victim. So attorneys get to practice outside of their areas. Oftentimes, they get to get really great experience working on cases that they might not have otherwise in their normal practice area. So that's kind of our bread and butter. We kind of view ourselves as a broker between the private bar and the community in that respect.
Are the attorneys invigorated by getting a chance to kind of move into different areas?
Absolutely. That's one thing that we hear oftentimes from our volunteer attorneys is they love being able to operate outside of their primary practice areas, love being able to learn new things. We have retired attorneys who have practiced all their life in trust and estates, for instance, now doing immigration cases. So they love being able to kind of diversify their skills and learn new things.
And let me ask Carla Palumbo, president of the Legal Aid Society of Rochester, to describe a little bit more about the mission for your organization, Carla.
Certainly. First of all, the Legal Aid Society this year, 2024, will celebrate its 103rd anniversary of incorporation. We're one of the oldest legal aid societies in the country. We've deviated in the kinds of cases, but not in the mission, which is to provide direct legal representation to people in the community that need access to justice. We serve Monroe County and have programs in the contiguous counties and Steuben, which isn't contiguous, but it's part of our catchment area, and look to do in our civil division direct legal representation to clients with a primary focus in family law, housing and foreclosure, consumer, education law, and immigration. Our family law program focuses quite a bit of resource in representing victims of domestic violence, survivors of violence. We do work collaboratively with the Willow Domestic Violence Center and then other domestic violence providers in the contiguous counties of Genesee, Orleans. We do orders of protection, custody visitation, divorce work. And our housing unit, in addition to providing representation in city court, through the 10 Defense Project, we also provide representation in foreclosure cases and for first-time home buyers. We help people with some of their consumer issues. Immigration, we've talked about, and then our education law program provides assistance to youth in schools who are facing some educational access issues. We are also the contract provider for the Office of Court Administration for the Attorney for the Child program, meaning that we are like assigned counsel. We are like the Public Defender's Office, but for children in the family court, either those facing juvenile delinquencies or persons in need of supervision or kids that are abused or neglected, that we represent those children. We approach legal services in terms of sort of a direct representation, but we've recently expanded the way we look at cases by adding navigators and social workers to our civil division to help not only, and Lori talked about this too, not only screening their legal case, but what other issues are impacting on them. Do they need help getting health care? Do they need help getting assistance? Do they need help finding housing, food, or clothes?
Well, and I want to just ask Crystal one point that I think is important here. All of the directors and are talking about the kinds of cases that might end up at the Toleska Center in some form. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, how do people know that you exist? Now, some of it has to be that you partner with so many different agencies. Willow has come up, and Willow, of course, knows how to get folks to you, et cetera. Is it that you've been around long enough, Crystal, that you're partnering with all these organizations and they are pretty good at bringing people to you, or do individuals tend to walk through your doors? How does it usually work?
I think it's both. I think, that particularly Legal Aid has been around for an entire century, but the partners have all done a really incredible job of connecting with different agencies throughout the community, and I think also word of mouth I think is a really another way that a lot of clients get connected with the Telesca Center partners. If you have a friend who's been through a situation or a time of crisis and was able to find a resolution and felt supported throughout that process, they're hopefully singing our praises, and that's how folks are getting connected with us.
I want to talk more about the Tenant Defense Project in a moment, but let me just kind of quickly move through some of these examples that have already come up a little bit, but I think will illustrate a little bit more about how the Telesca Center and how these organizations may end up handling a case like this. So just as some examples here, a person with a military veteran looking for benefits that they don't think that they're getting or don't know what they're entitled to. Lori, does that end up in your organization?
Absolutely. And I should say, every organization here has unique expertise. And so often, in addition to the individual work we do, we're also working together and collaborating. And I say that because I think a lot about Just Cause and our work together with veterans. But definitely, we have dedicated staff that work with veterans and their family members. Access to benefits, particularly health care benefits, mm-hmm. extremely important. And unfortunately, many veterans are not getting the benefits they're entitled to. So sometimes it may be someone needs information, doesn't know what they're entitled to. Sometimes it may be an individual has been denied those benefits and needs more extensive legal representation to a hearing.
Brian, do you want to add to that on veterans? I just have to say that I find it really damning that people can serve this country in some horrific circumstances and then wouldn't even really know what they're entitled to or not get it almost automatically. So that's just my little soapbox. That's the end of my TED Talk. I'll turn it over to you to talk about veterans.
Yeah, so we run a monthly clinic in partnership with the Monroe County Bar Association, led by our Director of Community Partnerships, who is an Air Force veteran himself, Dr. Rashid Muhammad. He helps to run a clinic where we have volunteer attorneys come in for the morning to the Veterans Outreach Center, and they just kind of triage vets who come in. They walk in with whatever legal issue they may have. We oftentimes have upwards of 10 people just walk-ins with various different legal issues, housing, there might be benefits, there might be family issues. And, aside from Law New York, there are some other agencies out there doing this work, but unfortunately there aren't a lot of places that they can turn to. And so we're really happy to partner with these other agencies and provide those services. But it really is a really important area that we operate in.
Another thing that has come up here, we've talked about domestic violence, survivors of domestic violence. And, those are some of the toughest conversations we pretty routinely have on this program, talking to people who have needed orders of protection, struggling where to go. Carla, I'll ask you to kind of pick up that thread if you can.
Sure. So folks can get to us in a number of ways. We either by just calling directly, referred through Willow, or if they're over in court and they're filing for a family court order of protection, Willow and Legal Aid are going to be there, or you'll be referred to us. We're also working with Willow as they set up their Family Justice Center. Mm-hmm. And our partners there, and we are present with that. I do want to say that, the one of the main reasons why in 2005 the partners collaborated, and all different people then who's on this call right now, right, but was because clients kind of didn't know where to go and ended up wandering around, this circle of downtown where we were all located. Now they come to the Telesca Center. The Legal Aid Society's receptionist answer all calls that come in. We also are sort of the clearinghouse for people that just walk in and can assess and say, oh, this is for Just Cause, or this is for Law New York, or this is for Empire Justice. We screen those cases and try to make sure that people get to the right provider. What Lori said in terms of collaboration, there is a lot of that, even in the world of domestic violence. Like, we may take your case for an order of protection. We might take a domestic violence divorce, but we might work, and we have worked, with Empire Justice in an appeal that was, an important aspect of domestic violence. So I think that I think that if people, sometimes people don't know who to call or where to go or how to get to us, they should just, they can call any one of us, and it's actually the legal aid reception that's going to answer and figure out where they belong.
Kristen Brown, President and CEO of the Empire Justice Center, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think Carla was touching on some of the collaborative work that Empire Justice Center kind of pushes in to do with our partners in the Telesca Center. Within the field of domestic violence, we have a staff member who is actually our director of training and technical assistance, who pulls together regional and statewide task force meetings on domestic violence on a regular basis and creates opportunities to bring attorneys and advocates that are working in the field together to provide them with training, support, and connections so that they're better able to represent the folks that they work with on the ground. And so, you know, it's one of the ways in which we are bringing people together, bringing advocates together to be able to do their jobs better, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that cuts across multiple areas. We're a direct service provider in Monroe County, helping people facing foreclosure, but we also run a statewide program called the HOP Anchor Partner Program, where we're also training and training folks and bringing people together. I just brought folks together down in Albany, over 200 advocates to be trained and gather and learn best practices around foreclosure prevention just last week.
Mm. Another issue here, I think it's no secret that the adoption process can be Byzantine, but Brian Jasek, why would an adoption case end up with Just Cause?
Well, we do some adoption cases for kinship. So you might have a caretaker who is not a maybe a grandparent, it's kind of difficult to get an adoption in situations like that, and so we take some of those cases. Legal Aid also does some of those cases as well. So you might, you know, we kind of have a niche area in that case. But we kind of take some of the cases where there's a need that is kind of would otherwise go unmet.
And looking down the list here, this one's really interesting. And I think that this would end up with Lori O'Brien and Law New York. People who have been impacted by fraud, sometimes illegal collections, and I think that can manifest in different ways. Can you talk about why those cases would end up with you?
Absolutely. So Law New York, in addition to a consumer practice, we also work with many different victims of crime. We talked already about domestic violence, which is a huge issue in our community, but crime in general has negative effects on many of our community members and neighbors. When we think about scams and fraud, not only, you know, when I think about legal issues that are related to those types of crimes, it's either legal assistance directly related to the crime. So say someone stole my credit card and I might need an advocate to come in and help clear that and make sure that I don't lose money because of that. But then there's also legal issues that result from the impact of that scam or fraud or other consumer crime. And that might be the loss of income that created, you know, me being in arrears for rent or behind in my mortgage.
How common are those kind of cases?
They seem more and more common every day. And mm-hmm. I will say, you know, we all know the internet, social media, the way we interact online, we reveal so much personal information, and it has caused an increase in identity theft. And I'll give you one example that's been coming up relatively recently is housing scams. So I need to find housing for whatever reason. I might see housing on Facebook. It looks great. Later on, after I've paid a deposit, I find out that was just a picture someone picked up online, and they're posing as the landlord or the property manager to collect that money. And the unfortunate part is online, it's also very hard sometimes to find those individuals and to, you know, obtain your money in return or correct that problem.
Oh, boy. I find myself less trusting of just about anything online. I recently had to renew my car's registration. And the last step of the online process, I'm literally getting texts from etags.com. I'm like, shouldn't it be .gov? Like, is this a, do they know that, like, is that a real thing? And then I'm like, well, if I don't do this, am I in trouble? Am I going to get pulled over? And I'm like one of the most advantaged human beings on earth. And I'm sitting here going, I have no idea how to complete this process. This is what a mess, because I feel like everything looks like a scam. Meanwhile, my mother, God bless her, is always like, oh, did you see this? Great. I'm like, Mom, please do not click on this. Please do not go down this line. So we're like the opposite. But I don't know. Thank goodness that organizations like yours exist. We're talking to the leaders from the various organizations within the Telesca Center. And if you are just joining us, the Telesca Center, maybe this is a good time to ask. I don't know, Crystal, if you want to pick this up, but the name of the Telesca Center and who it's named for, and because it's right there in downtown Rochester. You pass on state and Maine, and it's got these organizations under its umbrella since 2005, and they're trying to expand their partnerships, their outreach, and what they do. We're talking about Just Cause, Law New York, the Empire Justice Center, the Legal Aid Society of Rochester. The name, the Telesca Center, what's it come from?
So the name, the Telesca Center, is named after Judge Michael Telesca, who was an incredible Supreme Court justice?
District Court.
Thank you.
Federal Court.
And he was, the more I learn about him, the more amazed I am about who he was as a person, was deeply committed to access to justice and practiced that within his courtroom often. Brian, I'm going to pass to you to share a little bit more about Judge Telesca.
So I knew Judge Telesca personally. He was a great mentor to me in the last stages of his life. And he was just a remarkable human being, like one that you have probably never met, just the most charismatic person, the most decisive person, which you think of in a judge, right? They're making decisions all day long, but he had the absolute most profound sense of right and wrong and justice. And so it is unbelievably fitting that a center that whose primary goal is to ensure justice and access to justice for all is named after him, because he lived access to justice. He lived fairness in his everyday life, in his courtroom. He lived and breathed it. And so it's just very fitting that the building is named after him. And on a personal note, it's fitting that I get to sit in that building every day. It's an honor.
Pretty remarkable. Various times throughout this hour, you've heard conversations about tenant issues, and I just kind of want to put a fine point on the collaboration that these organizations have with the Tenant Defense Project. These organizations we're in a community. They're working with clients who are dealing with the rising cost of rental units. You know, we know they're up double digits year over year. The last 3 years, especially since the pandemic, we've been talking about all kinds of different questions on policy and what happens with eviction and when can eviction happen? When is it an illegal eviction? What are the legal mechanisms to protect and guard against that? So, community members tend to be who need these services can be referred to Just Cause, the Legal Aid Society, Law New York. Empire Justice also gets involved. And can I just ask all the organizations to kind of weigh in? Brian, you want to start with your organization's role here?
Sure. So Just Cause is kind of like the first line of defense, so to speak, in the Tenant Defense Project. We run the hotline. So if you are an individual who's facing eviction, you can call the Tenant Defense Hotline, or you can go online and put in a request. A paralegal or an attorney on our staff at Just Cause will get back to you, do an intake, figure out what the issues are. If you have a court appearance, we'll kind of triage that issue, and then we will pass it off to one of our partner agencies who will likely be able, hopefully, be able to provide, if we're able to, provide an attorney to, at the very least, provide legal information, advice and counsel. If not, full representation. And that's where our partner agencies, Law New York and Legal Aid, come in, and they can provide advice and counsel or direct full representation.
So okay, going across the panel, yeah. Lori O'Brien with Law New York, your role here.
Well, as my friend Brian said, Law New York provides direct legal representation. Right now, we are working with our colleagues, Legal Aid Society, and handling conflicts in Rochester City Court. Law New York also has expertise and focus in public and subsidized housing, and we've carried that from before the pandemic into this project, which we're excited about because maintaining long-term affordable housing is incredibly important to our community members. We're also expanding into town and village court. So right now we're in Greastown Court. And as we work on developing resources and expanding our programs and services, we hope to expand more into town and village.
Okay. Let me turn to Kristen Brown from the Empire Justice Center for some. Well, let's get Carla, because I know that we'll get Carla Palumbo first and then Kristen on your organization's role here. Carla with Legal Aid, what do you want to add?
Sure.
Here?
So Legal Aid, we handle private landlords in Rochester City Court cases. So Lori does the subsidized housing. We'll do, you know, all the other cases, the private cases. What that means is that our crew, our attorneys and legal assistants and advocates go to court pretty much every day that there's a landlord-tenant court in session. We try to cover as much of those dockets as we can and make ourselves available to tenants who, whether they've called ahead or not, who are facing eviction that day. And we will screen their case, determine if they've got a defense, represent them if they do have a defense, help negotiate settlements if maybe they don't have defense. But, you know, people that aren't represented can face eviction and you know, be removed from their homes in 3 days. So, you know, with 3 days' notice. So we really do need to intervene and help folks and sometimes help them find access to funds, access to assistance, access to public assistance, emergency assistance to pay some of the rents because they've had situations, like Lori's mentioned, of loss of a job, medical issues that have resulted in them not having the funds to pay their rent. But essentially covering those day-to-day cases, people either call the hotline. It would be great if they call the hotline because then there can be some preparation, or if they find themselves in city court that day, to reach out to one of the attorneys that's there.
Okay. And Kristen Brown from Empire Justice Center.
Yeah, so our role is really to we're meeting with the attorneys and advocates that are representing folks on a regular basis, and first of all, plugging in to assist wherever we can. The need is for legal representation is vast, and so that is the first and primary role that that Empire Justice Center staff are playing, but also listening to what's happening in cases, looking for issues that are problematic and identifying, like, if there needs to be a change in the law or if there are appeals that we can bring, which our partners don't have the capacity to pursue. You know, a couple of the things that have come out of that, this collaborative work that we've done, we worked locally to get funding to create an illegal eviction practice for a period of time because there had been a massive problem, particularly during the period of time when evictions were paused during the pandemic. And also recognizing that we really need to be working collaboratively as a state to establish a right to counsel in eviction matters. And so that's something else that through what we're seeing on the ground in Monroe County and working with our partners, we're working on the state level to advance resources and also legislation that would establish a right to counsel for folks in all across the state and that aren't as lucky to have such robust services as the individuals in Monroe County are facing eviction.
We're down to about our last minute. Crystal, what did we not cover that the Telesca Center and these organizations are doing?
We covered so much. I think just reiterating what an incredibly unique partnership this is. I think when we look at the across the state or across the country, we're hard-pressed to find any other community, any other legal community that is collaborating in this way. So not only are we collaborating in the provision of services, but we're also collaborating in the fact that we're co-located. So folks can come to, like Carla was saying, they can come right to our reception. They can see and get connected with whoever they need to be connected with. But then we're also pooling our development and fundraising efforts. So just an incredible partnership that I'm proud to be part of.
And one more time, where do people find you?
TelescaCenter.org.
TelescaCenter.org, TelescaCenter. And I want to thank our guests for coming in. And again, we're trying to pull a lot of strands together. That's what they do at the center. I hope it's clear to the community now how these roles overlap, but how they're also different and unique in their own rights. And I want to thank our guests for being here to tell the story. Crystal Bertrand is the development officer for the Telescah Center for Justice. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
And
thank
around you. The table we go here. Brian Jasek from Just Cause. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Thank you.
Lori O'Brien from Law New York. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Carla Palumbo from the Legal Aid Society. Thank you, Carla.
Thanks for having us.
Kristen Brown from Empire Justice Center. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks so much.
We've got more connections coming up in just a moment.